Hello and welcome to another episode of Talk About Tomorrow, the Futurist podcast with me, Tom Cheesewright. This week, two stories as normal. First of all, one about change, how we separate plastic from elastic change. And second, a rather quirkier story, one from my Ask a Futurist series. Will Strictly Come Dancing go on forever? Find out. Change. Separating plastic from elastic. When something gets stretched or squashed, engineers talk about elastic and plastic deformations. Elastic, as you might expect, is something that can be stretched or squashed and then return to its original shape. Plastic deformations are more permanent. In a plastic deformation, something is bent beyond its elastic range and the new shape is retained. When we're talking about the changes that will stay with us after the COVID-19 pandemic, it feels to me like we frequently confuse plastic and elastic deformations. People experience an elastic change long enough for it to become a temporary new normal, and come to the mistaken belief it will be permanent. But when the pressure is removed, it is much more likely that things will snap back to their old state. The evidence that most of the changes in our lifestyles through lockdown have been elastic is now pretty clear. You only have to look at the pictures from beauty spots, the queues outside stores, or the data on restaurant bookings when lockdown has been lifted, to see that most people are going to return to normal behaviour in most things. This doesn't mean some changes from the crisis won't stay with us. The many, many deaths will live long in the memory of friends and loved ones. NHS care and other workers with the most direct exposure to the crisis will not forget this in a hurry. Some companies have failed. They're not coming back. And there will be a lasting effect on the wealth of many. Most things, though, will return to the old normal. At least here in the UK. Millions of years of evolved human behaviour won't be disrupted by a few months of enforced social distancing. My suspicion is that the plastic, sustained changes will fall into three categories. Number one, change enforced by law. Legislation will enshrine some pandemic measures in law. Let's just hope the disenfranchisement of many voters doesn't last. Number two, change enforced by caution. Risk managers and HR departments in organisations are likely to be extra cautious about the responsibilities and liabilities, driving more enforced behaviour change. And number three, change enforced by failure. The businesses that have failed might not be coming back, and nor might their business models. This last point highlights the fact that COVID-19 didn't really spawn any new trends. It simply accelerated existing ones. Online shopping, flexible working, trends that people maybe thought they had time to deal with, but that time was cut short. I made a more specific but more detailed version of this point focused on flexible working for my chapter in the book Aftershocks and Opportunities. It's available now, both in print and digital forms, and features the thoughts of 30 futurists, strategists and foresight professionals from around the world on life post-lockdown. I would urge you to check it out. Will Strictly go on forever? Ask a futurist. We all need a little light in the current times of pandemic and political betrayal. So I thought I'd tackle this tongue-in-cheek question from Fiona on my Ask a Futurist thread on Twitter. Will Strictly go on forever? Fiona is referring to Strictly Come Dancing, the somewhat oddly named BBC TV series, now at 17 seasons and named the most successful reality TV format by the Guinness World Records. In a world of on-demand entertainment, it remains appointment viewing, attracting on average over 10 million viewers per episode in the last few seasons. Can it continue this run of success? The answer to that question brings in the subject that is most obsessing me at the moment. Choice. And it raises the most challenging issue for futurists in making predictions, the unpredictability of human taste and behaviour. Today, we have more choice about what we watch and when we watch it than ever before. Not only that, we have more choice about how we spend our leisure time than ever, albeit arguably with more leisure time to spend as well. The natural assumption from this is that each form of entertainment might take a smaller share of our total time. And this largely appears to be true. As the internet rose, so linear, broadcast, TV consumption declined around the world. But what's fascinating as someone who watches and listens to very little real-time or broadcast content is just how dominant broadcast media remains in the UK. According to the 2019 Ofcom report, 89.4% of us listen to the radio and spend an average of almost 3 hours a day listening. 88.5% of us watch television and spend an average of over 3 hours in front of the Gogglebox. 71% of that viewing is still accounted for by the primary five broadcast channels and their subsidiaries. Compare these figures to those for Netflix consumption, and you see just how dominant the old forms of media remain. The average Netflix subscriber, which is about 40% of UK households, consumes about 7 hours of content per week. What can we take from this? Strictly has achieved an incredible feat by growing its audience over the seasons to the level it is at today. But it has done so in the context of a choice explosion that is only just beginning. We are at, as the saying goes, the B of the bang. While there are many more options out there, most people have yet to migrate their tastes away from the dominant broadcasters, if they ever will. Though the trend is most pronounced amongst the youngest viewers as ever. If they maintain their behaviour as they age, consuming more short-form and on-demand content, then Strictly could suffer. This said, it's hard to discount the idea of continued success for Strictly. After all, part of its appeal comes from the stars who they attract to appear on it. The careful curation of these celebrities ensures that the show attracts a broad demographic. If that successful curation were to continue, and new generations of stars continue to value an appearance there, then it's possible that the show could sustain its success. But I think this is where the show may struggle. The media through which the new generation of celebrities are emerging are very detached from the traditional world of carefully curated linear programming or even reality TV. The style is very different, and so is the audience. Creators are often auteurs with complete control of their output and image. Their audience comes from all across the world. Appearing on a show like Strictly might be a big leap for them, and one that doesn't necessarily hold that much appeal. If you've ever watched YouTube stars appear on normal television, then you'll know what I mean. Even the most famous and polished frequently look awkward and out of place. It's just a different discipline. Learning it may not hold sufficient reward unless the financial prize is very large and the crossover with your own audience is significant. Strictly and other popular linear programming is likely to face another challenge in the next decade, as we go through another format shift and mixed reality becomes more accessible. Exactly how and when this happens is unclear, but as I have written about in the past, the physical and digital worlds have been coming closer together for decades. Blending them in a form of augmented reality interface seems like a very obvious next step. This creates enormous possibilities for programming that is somewhere between television and computer gaming. People have demonstrated systems where you can be the director of your own show, for example using the huge amounts of raw footage captured by the falling cost and rising pixel count of cameras. That's a very different experience from the passive consumption of television, but it might appeal to some. Whatever happens, there will be a new dimension of choice and competition for established formats in the future. If I were to be forced to bet on what will happen with Strictly, I would guess it follows a fairly traditional TV arc. Ratings start to decline, and after a couple of years of them falling, the BBC decides to stick the idea back in the vault to resurrect at a later date when the time seems right. Much as it already did with Come Dancing when it added the Strictly. When will that happen? Well, the numbers are still strong. I would guess we have at least another 3 to 5 seasons of Strictly yet before they decide to pull the plug. That's it for this episode. Thanks again for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, Please go and leave a review somewhere, wherever you get your podcast. It'd be very, very welcome. And go and buy a book too. Grab yourself a copy of Future Proof Your Business or High Frequency Change. Available, well, wherever you buy books, basically. Thanks for listening.